Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, happy Friday, everybody, and welcome to this edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. Today, Joe Biden is now using the might of the American government to declare war against unvaccinated American citizens. The headlines so far this week have been nothing short of astonishing. But so many of us have been pumped up with so much fear and misinformation that it's failing to register with many people, and that's exactly what the plan has been the whole time. The Biden vaccine mandate has become the defining issue of our day, and they are so intent on carrying it out that they will have you fired from your job, drive you to financial ruin, prevent your family from purchasing food, water, and medicine, and, wait for it, put you in prison. Habakkuk 1:5 says, "Behold ye among the heathen, and regard, and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you." On this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast, war has been declared upon the unvaccinated, and they're not taking prisoners. Either you agree to receive the series of chemical injections from the government, our national sacrament of vaccination, or you will be destroyed on any one of a number of levels. I find it mind-boggling that we are here as the children of the World War II generation that defeated Nazi Germany and unable to recognize fascism within our own government. Hitler burned books. In our day, truth tellers get banned and canceled. Nazis conducted obscene medical experiments on their victims. You are the experiment in 2021. You. This is not happening in America uniquely or exclusively. It's happening in every nation on earth to those who refuse to receive the government injection, the national sacrament of vaccination. Let me ask you a question. Once they have got you to agree to be vaccinated and injected, where and when do you think that that will stop? It won't. And it will lead you straight to the mark of the beast in Revelation 13 if you miss the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. Today, I'm going to show you America's war against its own people. I'm going to show you the war against the unvaccinated here and around the world. Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we ask you, Lord, to work and move as only you can. We ask you, Father God, to do that for us which we cannot do for ourselves. Cindy wrote to me and said, "Please pray for my recovering from COVID, for my family, that they all become true believers and that Jesus comes quickly. I want to get back to kingdom work, so pray for quick recovery and good health. And pray for Brooke also. She still needs many prayers." Cindy Kettlecamp writes, "I'm doing very well in part due to the prayers of the NTEB family of believers. Thank you so much. Keep working on the billboards and all of your kingdom work." We're praying for salvation for Sarah, Rebecca, Greg and Melissa Price, Glenn Clark, Cheyenne, Bridget, Tony, Matthew, Trevor, Derek, Adam, Jordan. Our list is growing. I want to start seeing a couple of these people taken from the prayer for salvation column over into the praise report column. Catherine Giacomino says, "Kindly pray for my sister Debbie and her husband Maurice. They've been ill since Wednesday. They have COVID." People battling cancer, Sammy in South Africa, Harmon's son Michael, Clayton Perry, Jesse Spurlock, Becky Markovich, Jerry Rogalski, Malia McLean has complications from Lyme disease. Hal needs a lung transplant. Laura Perry, she's having her second of two surgeries today for cervical stenosis with myelopathy. It's hard to pronounce. It's even harder to have to live through. Elizabeth has an unspoken. Suzanne Wood battling depression, diabetes, high blood pressure, pancreatitis. Jeanette's mom has an unspoken. Dana's husband needs prayers, medical issues. May Samuels needs a healing. Alan Hardin is still asking prayers for Charlie Harvey's family, health, and finances. I want you to remember our overseas pastors, Pastor John Ree, Pastor Danny, and Pastor Arnell in the Philippines. Praise report, Pastor Fojan was able to get that third box of Bibles and gospel tracts. What a blessing that is. And I believe with all my heart that the only reason why those three boxes were released to him is because we're praying for him. Now, maybe you don't believe that, but I believe that. I believe that the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much. Yeah, I know that's tribulation doctrine. But the Apostle Paul tells us all about praying and why it's so important. And we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen. Man, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. If that doesn't get you shouting, I don't know what will. I'm going to say it one more time. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus. We're praying for our NTEB street preachers. Jeffrey in Ohio, Kyle in Baton Rouge, Mike Hensel in Ohio, Joshua Gaskin in Virginia, Werner Bukes of Vancouver, Canada, Peggy and Paul Caulfield of Toronto, Canada, Adrian, otherwise known as APB, in Toronto, Canada. I really like how many listeners and street preachers and things that are happening with this ministry in Canada. I love that. Marie in Philadelphia. Maybe you've never met a female street preacher, but that's where she is. Philadelphia, pray for Marie. Patty Rogalski, praise report for Jerry. The cancer is treatable, and the doctor says that the outcome looks favorable. Patty says, praise our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Man, that's something right there. Thank you, Lord. Lulu says, prayers please for my friend's husband who has cancer and in hospice. Shay says, prayers for friend Alan who is sick with COVID. My friends Dan and Sally. I started my very first Bible study with Dan way back in 1993. Dan and Sally recovering from COVID. Keep them in your prayers, please. No Star says, can't fly and next year can't get into any government building. Phyllis, asking for prayers for me and Lorianne and Jeanette and Harmon. Thank you very, very much. Phyllis says, send more, Lord. Amen. We had 2,000 people listening to our broadcast yesterday. And that was 100% in the archive. God is absolutely expanding our borders. Guest V says, prayers for my husband Francisco and for my son Jonathan for salvation. Shannon says, prayers for friend Dale has diverticulitis. That can be very painful. That can be deadly. Lord, for all these prayers and for the unspoken prayers of our hearts, we ask you to work and move, God, as only you can. And I thank you, Lord, just as Cindy Kettlecamp wrote to me, And she said that she is so grateful for her NTEB family of believers. I'm reading that directly from her letter. I got this a couple of days ago. She's grateful for the NTEB family of believers. I'm grateful for this family too. And God is expanding our borders. We're in over 130 different countries on earth. Over 15,000 people listen every single week. That's pretty good when you think about we are King James only. We preach and teach Bible doctrine. We start podcasts about news with prayers and praise to Jesus Christ. And we get 15,000 people a week to listen to that. I think that's kind of, in this day and age, that's kind of like a miracle. That's kind of like a miracle. So I thank the Lord for our NTEB family of believers. I thank God that He has brought all of us together for such a time as this, for this place and for this time, and that we're banding together, much like the apostles of the first century, pooling our resources and time and talent, putting up billboards, sending out thousands, over 10,000 free King James Bibles this year alone. I don't know about you, but that to me is not a minor miracle. That to me is a major miracle. This is what I've been dreaming about. This has been the desire of my heart for 30 years. And to watch it all happen and all come to pass, and God bringing all these people together into the NTEB family, to me, that's a miracle. And I don't take this for granted. I love bringing you these broadcasts. I'm really looking forward to our King James Bible night. I'm really looking forward to, on November 2nd, everybody's going to come and look at an original King James Bible. For those of you that can't make it, we're going to live stream it. And then on November 20th, people are, well, they're telling me right now that they're going to come for the street preaching on November 20th. Shaycaster from Montana is coming down with Chris Hart. Lots of people coming from all over the country. And I want you to keep that in your prayers. The devil's going to try to get in there somewhere, as he always does. But how exciting is it? If you want to see what old-fashioned first-century street preaching is all about, it's alive and well at Now the End Begins. Your church may not do it, but we do it. And if you want to come see what real old-fashioned, Bible-believing, King James-only street preaching is all about, well, we invite you to come to the bookstore on November 20th. And if you think that you're going to make it, please send me an email, info@nowtheendbegins.com. Send me an email, please, because I need to have a rough tabulation of who's coming. So if you're planning on coming, please send me an email to info@nowtheendbegins.com. November 2nd, King James Bible Night, right here in the bookstore. It's completely free. Just bring yourself. Bring your camera so you can take a picture of this amazing book. And if you can make it to the street preaching on November 20th, please email me, info@nowtheendbegins.com, and let me know that you're coming. So, Heavenly Father, for all these prayers and for the unspoken prayers of our hearts. We ask you to work and move as only you can. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, first sip of coffee down the hatch. Welcome to the podcast today. And believe me when I tell you, if you think that it's easy to have a King James-only Bible ministry that teaches Bible doctrine, if you think it's easy to attract a lot of people to that with no phony signs, miracles, and wonders, we don't have any pony rides, we don't have any giveaways, we don't have any fake revivals, and yet, God is blessing with real revival. 2 Timothy chapter 4, the Apostle Paul says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. That's what we're doing here. That's what we're doing here. And I'm glad that all of you are with us. We're really, really getting something done. Because of your giving, we've been able to purchase another 10 cases of Ruckman Reference Bibles. I want you to think about that. That's a lot of money. That's thousands of dollars. But because of your giving and supporting our free Bible and Gospel Tract program, we've been able to purchase another 10 cases of Ruckman Reference Bibles. And here's the shocker. Those Bibles will be gone before Thanksgiving. I want you to think about that. That's how fast we're going through Bibles. So I want you to pray about becoming part of our free Bible and Gospel Tract program. It takes a lot of money to do it. So if you think that's a worthy cause, please pray about donating to our free Bible and Gospel Tract program. This month, we sent $2,400 to Bible Literature and Missionary Foundation. And that is sending out 1,500 King James Bibles in October. They went to the Philippines, actually. Your giving has enabled us to send out 1,500 King James Bibles to the Philippines and purchase another 10 cases of Ruckman Reference Bibles. Your giving has made it possible to put up another billboard. And we put it up just in time for our Knights of Lights here in St. Augustine, where about 1 to 2 million people are going to come to St. Augustine for our holiday light show. And about 75% of all those people are going to have to drive right past the NTEB billboard. I want you to think about that and the impact that we're having for the Lord. Not me, us. All of us together. I want you to get excited about that. And I want to do more. I want to do a lot more. So please keep that in your prayers. All right, today we are talking about Joe Biden declaring war on the United States of America, the people who refuse to be vaccinated. The people who refuse to be vaccinated. This is the New World Order. I was talking with my friend Dan yesterday, who's recovering from COVID. We had a great conversation. We cannot talk to each other for months and months and months, and we get on the phone, and it's like we haven't missed 5 seconds. One of my oldest and dearest friends, and we had a great conversation about the end times yesterday. Joe Biden has declared war on the United States of America, on the people who refuse to be vaccinated. And if you think that I'm overstating the situation, you're going to see by the end of today's program that, if anything, I have understated the situation. Things are getting really bad, and they're about to get worse. I just want to read for you a couple of the headlines today, just random headlines that, as I scan through, I go to whatfinger.com, Breitbart News, YouTube videos, wherever you might find the news of the day. And I just want to read for you a couple of random headlines gathered today. Joe Biden says police emergency responders should be fired if they won't get vaccinated. That's what Joe Biden said yesterday at a CNN town hall. Joe Biden said that police officers and emergency responders should be let go if they refuse their employers' mandates to get vaccinated against COVID. Anderson Cooper said, "Mr. President, let me ask you a follow-up about that. As many as 1 in 3 emergency responders in some cities like Chicago, Los Angeles, right here in Baltimore, are refusing to comply with the vaccine mandates. I'm wondering, Mr. President, where you stand on that. Should police officers, emergency responders, be mandated to get the vaccine? And if not, should they be let go?" Biden immediately responded, "Yes and yes." Yes and yes. You know what happens if you get fired? Well, you don't have a job. And if you don't have a job, how are you going to pay for your rent? How are you going to pay for your mortgage? Take a listen to Joe Biden mocking vaccine freedom in last night's town hall.
Should police officers, emergency responders, be mandated to get vaccines? And if not, should they be stay at home or let go?
Yes and yes. Those who just try to make this a political issue. Freedom. I have the freedom to kill you with my COVID.
You hear that? The first thing Joe Biden does is he makes fun of freedom. The new religion is COVID. And the new sacrament is vaccination. And if you refuse to receive the national sacrament of vaccination, you will be destroyed. You'll be destroyed financially, economically. You'll be mocked. You'll be ridiculed. You'll be banned on social media. You'll be fired from your job. See, now I'm all aggravated again. Do you see why you need to stand up and say no to this garbage? I understand that we're not going to be in the tribulation. I understand that the church is removed in the pre-tribulation rapture before the start of the time of Jacob's trouble, a 7-year time period. I get all that. But let me tell you something. As the dispensation of the church age begins to close, and the dispensation of the time of Jacob's trouble begins to prepare itself, and yes, you are watching right now the world preparing to go through the time of Jacob's trouble. If you understand anything at all about Bible prophecy, you understand that all dispensations overlap each other. That's happened from Genesis, and it goes all the way through the end of Revelation. All dispensations overlap each other. I like to give the example, when I went to my brother's wedding a couple years ago, he had it this really fancy place called the Brownstone up in New Jersey. That's where I'm from. And my brother's wedding, he had the main reception hall. There was about 160 people at the reception. And as my brother was dancing with his bride, I looked off in the distance at the back half of the restaurant. And I noticed that there was a second venue, much smaller than the one that we were at. But I could watch the waiters and waitresses begin to prepare that room for the wedding reception that was going to take place after the one that I was invited to was over. And that is probably the best picture that I could ever give you of what it means to have overlapping dispensations. Back in the book of Acts, you saw that as the kingdom age closed at the end of Acts chapter 7, and the church age began with the beginning of the Ethiopian eunuch getting saved, that it wasn't like somebody turned a switch on. It happened, it overlapped, it happened gradually. The kingdom age ended immediately, but the dispensation overlapped gradually. And that's why, in places like Acts chapter 19, verses 1 and 2, you read this. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. All the way in Acts chapter 19, and you have saved believers who don't even know about the Holy Ghost. So all dispensations overlap each other. And right now, what you're watching is you're watching the church age, the Laodicean, the lukewarm, and don't be one of those people. If you go to a lukewarm Laodicean church, why don't you get on fire and then get everybody else on fire? You know, in Revelation chapter 3, where Jesus is rebuking the born-again, saved Laodicean church, a lot of people struggle to understand that Laodicean Christians, they go in the rapture too. But in Revelation chapter 3, when Jesus is rebuking this lukewarm church, which is 2021, Revelation 3:19 says, As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. And then in Revelation 3, verses 20 and 21, this is for our time. It's no coincidence, it's Revelation 3, verses 20 and 21. Jesus says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Jesus invites you. If you're a member of a Laodicean church, Jesus says, why don't you get on fire for me? I'm knocking on your door. Why don't you open it? And why don't you let me in? And why don't you get on fire for me? I've had more than one person come to the bookstore to tell me with tears in their eyes that when they started listening to our Bible studies, they were convicted that they were a lukewarm Laodicean. And did they come to the bookstore to yell at me? No. Did they come to the bookstore to get mad? No. They come to the bookstore and they thank me for helping them to rekindle their fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's happened multiple times since we opened the bookstore, and I praise God for that. That really encourages me. So if you're a lukewarm Laodicean, instead of leaving your church, why don't you get on fire for God? And why don't you get that church on fire for God? Many times I told you the story about the two praying women. They were sisters. And the one woman was so sick she couldn't even get out of bed. And she began to pray. She lived in England. And this sick old woman began to pray that God would bring D.L. Moody to her country. And that revival would happen. And this old woman prayed and prayed and prayed. And wouldn't you know it, the day came where D.L. Moody, his church burned to the ground, the great Chicago fire of 1871. He was so depressed because people in his church died. He was so depressed that he went to England for a vacation. That's what Moody was going to do. He was going to go on a vacation to get away from his problems. But God, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus. But God had other plans for D.L. Moody. And after D.L. Moody had been in England for just a short time, he went to visit a church. He determined within himself that he would not preach, but he could not contain, like the prophet Jeremiah, thy word was shut up in my bones and I could not forbear. And D.L. Moody begins to preach in England, and revival fire begins to sweep across the country. D.L. Moody was the catalyst that God used. And wouldn't you know it, one day he's preaching in a church, and I'll get back to Joe Biden in just a minute, but the kingdom's a little bit more important than puny little Joe Biden. And one day, D.L. Moody is preaching in this church in England, and he said it was cold and it was dead. And he didn't even want to come back for the evening service. And when he came back, the place was so on fire that when he gave the invitation, 100 people came walking down the aisle. D.L. Moody was so shocked that he thought that the people misunderstood him. And he said, no, I'm giving an altar call for salvation. And another 100 people came down the aisle. Now, Moody knew that this wasn't just him alone. Moody knew that God was doing something, so he began to inquire. And eventually, he was led to the doorstep of the old white-haired saint who was so sick she couldn't get out of bed. And Moody realized that this one woman had prayed him to England and had been the catalyst for a revival, a real, legitimate national revival. And when Moody came back to America, those revival fires came back with him. And he started on the greatest time period of his evangelistic career, one woman praying in a bed, too sick to get out. And you tell me you can't do something for the Lord? Let me tell you what the secret is. If you want to see revival fire, you got to be on fire first. If you're not on fire, you're never, ever going to see revival in your church. You got to get so full of Jesus Christ that it just comes pouring out of your eyes and your ears and your skin. People can smell it on you. You got to get so full of the Lord and the things of God that you don't have time for baseball, football, basketball, NASCAR. You don't have time to go to concerts and raves and all the rest of that garbage. You don't have time to go to happy hour, which you shouldn't be at anyway. No Christian should drink alcohol. Ever. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. But I digress. If you want to see revival, get yourself on fire first. All right, let's listen to what puny little Joe Biden has to say after that.
Should police officers, emergency responders, be mandated to get vaccines? And if not, should they be stay at home or let go?
Yes and yes. Those who just try to make this a political issue. Freedom. I have the freedom to kill you with my... No, I mean, come on. Freedom.
President Biden demanding first responders who fail to comply with vaccine mandates lose their jobs and mocking people using freedom as a defense for not choosing to get the vaccine. This is New York City announces a vaccine mandate for first responders and city workers. And here now to react is New York Congresswoman Elise Stefanik. Good morning to you.
So last year, the first responders were national heroes. The police, the paramedics, the nurses in the emergency rooms, the doctors in the OR, all these people were national heroes. Now, the leader of America has decreed that if you will not receive the national sacrament of vaccination, that you are going to be sacrificed on the altar, and they're going to take away your job. They're going to take away your pension. They're going to take from you everything that they can possibly take. Just yesterday, Senator Roger Marshall says dishonorable discharge for military refusing the vaccines will lose their Second Amendment, will not be able to vote, and will lose their VA benefits and retirement plans. Yes, you heard that correctly. Senator Roger Marshall of Kansas highlighted the consequences of a dishonorable discharge, a possible outcome for military personnel refusing to comply with vaccine mandates opposed by the Biden administration on U.S. armed forces. I've told you many times before, Now the End Begins is listed as an extremist website by the U.S. Cyber Command. So if you folks are listening, and I know you are, Senator Roger Marshall, he wants you to know that Biden is going to start issuing dishonorable discharges if you will not receive the sacrament of vaccination. There's really nothing else that you can call it. COVID has become a religion. We are so far off of anything related to science None of this is science. Has any doctor ever learned in med school about the scientific principle of standing 6 feet apart in the times of a viral outbreak? What year do you learn that in med school? Wearing a cloth mask? Where do you learn about stuff like that? Well, these are things that they ask you to believe in, even though that is not what the science says. You have left facts and you have gone into belief. And when you're there, that's religion. The COVID vaccine has become our national sacrament and our national religion in a country that is run by atheists and agnostics and pagans. Would it surprise you to learn that the Bible talks about the religion of unsaved people? Have you ever wondered what the religion of the one world government is actually going to look like? Well, if you'd like to find what it looks like when unsaved people have religion, Revelation chapter 9, and again, very appropriately, verses 20 and 21, Revelation 9, 20 and 21, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, and here it is, that they should not worship devils, idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. You know what religion looks like in the end times? Idol worship. Murder. In Michigan, the abortion rate has reached a 30-year high. It's gone up 9% in just the last 12 months. 'Neither repented they of their murders or of their sorceries.' There's that word pharmakia again. There's that old word pharmakia. And where do you think that vaccine comes from? That's pharmakia. That's sorcery. We did an article a couple of months ago with a great headline: Pharmakia, the God Gene, and just what is the real target of COVID-19 vaccines that were rushed into production and forced on us? We're in religion now. I didn't say salvation. This is religion. The COVID vaccine has become the sacrament. They didn't make the vaccine for the virus. They made the virus for the vaccine. A recipient of the AstraZeneca COVID vaccine cried out in pain after they received it, and they were hallucinating and they were disoriented. They screamed out, "They've killed God. I can't feel God. My soul is dead." That's what an early recipient of the AstraZeneca vaccine cried out and said. The COVID vaccine has become a sacrament. The coronavirus has become our religion. And you will get in line, and you will obey, or you will be sacrificed.
We've been fighting a long time, and we have all lost so very much, so many loved ones gone. But you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. Where is the brink? Above all, stay alive. You have no idea how important you are. If you're listening to this, you are the resistance.
When I think about my dad growing up, I certainly think about that seriousness. But very few people get to see him. He's funny, weird, and really playful.
God help us.
In 1981, HIV/AIDS was evolving rapidly and frighteningly. There was anger at the government's response.
When you got sick, you were gone fast.
Affecting you now.
Yeah.
Why?
Post-traumatic stress syndrome.
When COVID hit, he became this target.
My dad said, we're going to get through this whole thing. And he held that.
You don't do it because you want to make money. You don't do it for the glory. You do it because you care.
When you're involved in a race to stop a horrible disease, you always feel you're not doing things quickly enough.
There's Anthony Fauci from the new Disney biography called Fauci. Anthony Fauci killed my brother back in 1988. I've said this many times before and I'll say it again. Anthony Fauci's policies and his promotion of a drug called AZT was directly responsible. It was the mechanism by which my brother was murdered through chemical injection. I want you to think about what I'm saying. I am calling Anthony Fauci a murderer, but I am not saying that in general. I am not using that pejoratively. I am saying that Anthony Fauci is directly responsible for the murder of my older brother, Robert Bruce Greider Jr., who died on December 4th, 1988. He was diagnosed with HIV/AIDS, and Anthony Fauci issued the order that every doctor needs to start prescribing AZT, and not only having that as a prescription, but in large doses. And all of those things that they said was related to having HIV/AIDS, the wasting away and the losing of the weight and the bones sticking through your skin and not having the strength to stand on your own two feet, and getting pneumonia and Kaposi sarcoma. All of those things were related to AZT. And Anthony Fauci was the number one promoter of AZT. In an open letter written by AIDS activist Larry Kramer on June 26th of 1988, Larry Kramer wrote to Anthony Fauci and he said, "You are responsible for all government-funded AIDS research. You make decisions that cost the lives of others. I call the decisions you are making acts of murder. Anthony Fauci, you are a murderer and should not be the guest of honor at any event that reflects on the past decades of the AIDS crisis. With 270,000 people dead and millions more infected, you should not be honored at a dinner." Larry Kramer said this. "You should be put before a firing squad." That's what Larry Kramer said on June 26th of 1988. This is the same Anthony Fauci that is demanding that you take the sacrament of vaccination
right now in the United States.
And he's a liar
around with masks.
You're sure of it? Because people are listening really closely to this.
Right now, people should not be walking. There's no reason to be walking around with a mask. When you're in the middle of an outbreak, wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better, and it might even block a droplet, but it's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is. And often, there are unintended consequences. People keep fiddling with the mask, and they keep touching their face.
All right, that's enough of that garbage. Anthony Fauci lied to you about masks. He's lying to you about the vaccine. Anthony Fauci, he got caught yesterday. Fauci got caught yesterday by his own organization. The National Institutes of Health effectively called Anthony Fauci a liar. They released a letter showing that he did authorize gain-of-function research. Remember this with Rand Paul just a couple of weeks ago?
Dr. Fauci, we don't know whether the pandemic started in a lab in Wuhan or evolved naturally, but we should want to know. 3 million people have died from this pandemic, and that should cause us to explore all possibilities. Instead, government authorities, self-interested in continuing gain-of-function research, say there's nothing to see here. Gain-of-function research, as you know, is juicing up naturally occurring animal viruses to infect humans. To arrive at the truth, the U.S. government should admit that the Wuhan Virology Institute was experimenting to enhance the coronavirus's ability to infect humans. Juicing up super viruses is not new. Scientists in the U.S. have long known how to mutate animal viruses to infect humans. For years, Dr. Ralph Barrick, a virologist in the U.S., has been collaborating with Dr. Shi Zhengli of the Wuhan Virology Institute, sharing his discoveries about how to create super viruses. This gain-of-function research has been funded by the NIH. The collaboration between the U.S. and the Wuhan Virology Institute continues. Doctors Barrick and Shi worked together to insert bat virus spike protein into the backbone of the deadly SARS virus, and then used this man-made supervirus to infect human airway cells. Think about that for a moment. The SARS virus had a 15% mortality. We're fighting a pandemic that has about a 1% mortality. Can you imagine if a SARS virus that's been juiced up and had viral proteins added to it, to the spike protein, if that were released accidentally? Dr. Fauci, do you still support funding of the NIH funding of the lab in Wuhan?
Senator Paul, with all due respect, you are entirely and completely incorrect.
Senator Paul... Excuse me. Senator Paul, with all due respect, Anthony Fauci bloviated. With all due respect, Fauci the liar said, you are wrong. Fauci said to Rand Paul, who is a doctor, a medical doctor, he said, you don't know what you're talking about. Rand Paul said, oh, yes, I do. And you authorized and paid for gain-of-function research at the lab in Wuhan, China. And Fauci denied it, and the fake news media covered for him. And yesterday, the NIH released a letter proving that Rand Paul was right, and Anthony Fauci had lied. Dated October 20th. Dear Representative Comer, this is the Department of Health and Human Services writing for the National Institutes of Health. And I'm going to post the letter into the chat room so you can see it for yourself. Or you can just go to nowtheendbegins.com and read the whole article. But yesterday, James Comer, 2 days ago, excuse me, on Wednesday, ranking member of the Committee of Oversight and Reform of the U.S. House of Representatives, received a letter from the National Institutes of Health saying that gain-of-function research was performed by Echo Health Alliance Incorporated and was paid for by a grant approved and authorized by Anthony Fauci.
That the NIH has not ever and does not now fund gain-of-function research in the Wuhan Institute.
Do they fund it?
Did you hear what Fauci said? The National Institutes of Health does not now and has not ever, this is just a couple of weeks ago, the NIH does not now and has not ever financed gain-of-function research in Wuhan, China. And CNN, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, NBC, NPR, they all defended Fauci. And what happens yesterday, 2 days ago, excuse me, the National Institute of Health writes a letter to Congress and says, no, that's not true. The NIH absolutely funded gain-of-function research and absolutely paid for it by a grant approved by Anthony Fauci. J.C. Shane is asking, how does he not get arrested? Well, you know what they said, what Jesus said when they came for him in the Garden of Gethsemane? The same night where Peter cut the ear off of Malchus and Judas betrayed Jesus with a kiss. Luke 22:53. When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. I want you to think about that. You're living in a time of spiritual darkness. The only revival that we see are the people, the individuals, who are willing to answer the knock on the door from Revelation 3:20. And those individuals are preaching and teaching the Word of God. Now the End Begins is made up of thousands of those individuals. And when we all come together, we have tremendous spiritual power. But when they came for him in the garden, he says, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. People write to me and they'll say, hey, brother, look at these things that are happening. You got to pray against it. And I'll write back and I'll say, how can you pray against something that God said was going to come to pass? I want you to think about that. How can you pray against something that God said would come to pass? The people living in the time of Jacob's trouble won't be able to pray against Antichrist, because it will be his hour and the power of darkness. We're living in a period of time where things have gotten so off the rails. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you don't study your King James Bible, if you don't know Bible prophecy, even Christians are terrified. Because they don't know what's happening. They don't understand what's going on. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. Lord, give us strength, provision, protection to plunder the kingdom of the enemy, to steal souls from the devil, to use his internet, to use his resources, and plunder the kingdom of Satan, that lost people might be brought from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of his dear Son? Isn't that what Jesus said the Apostle Paul was supposed to do? Didn't Jesus tell Ananias, "Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel"? And doesn't Paul say the same thing to King Agrippa in Acts chapter 26? You know what the Apostle Paul was picked to do? In Acts 26:18, Paul says that Jesus told me that I'm to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me, Jesus Christ. And Paul said in verse 19 of Acts 26, "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision." We're living in a time that is the hour and power of darkness. And yet, we who are saved, we are called to open the eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. That's the time period that we're living in. And so I do my best on these podcasts every Monday and every Friday to get you to see these things from a prophetical perspective. Because if all you see is politics, then you've missed it. If all you see is America being destroyed, you've missed it. You've got to be able to look at these events and understand what it is that you're actually seeing. And for the past 22 and a half months, you have been watching the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. So, do not get focused on the political aspect. Do not get focused on the New World Order. Be focused on the fact that these things are happening because God had decreed that it was going to be so. And we need to go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that his house may be full. Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, "I charge thee therefore." Do you realize that Timothy is a type of the church? And when Paul wrote 1 and 2 Timothy, both those letters are addressed to Timothy, but everything that's in 1 and 2 Timothy is church-age Bible doctrine for Bible believers. When he tells Timothy to preach the word, he is telling me to preach it, and he is telling you to preach it. It's a charge from the Lord. It's a command. We're living in a day and age that is absolutely unprecedented, but not unexpected. I told you that I started my very first Bible study with my friend Dan back in New Jersey in 1993. And for the past 30 years, I got saved in 91. For the past 30 years, I've been waiting and anticipating that the day would come, if the Lord allowed me to live long enough, that the day would come where I would begin to see with my own eyes Bible prophecy coming true. I'm not talking about nonsense like the Four Blood Moons or any of that garbage from John Hagee. No, I'm talking about real Bible prophecy. And for the past 22 and a half months, we've been watching end times Bible prophecy coming true. It's everywhere you look. You want to go to the movies and watch a movie? You can see Bible prophecy.
Good morning, Miss Garcia.
Good morning, sunshine. I miss you. I can kiss you right now.
Someday.
Curfew is now in effect.
Uh-oh.
All unauthorized citizens must stay indoors.
Huh. Where did that come from?
As we enter the 213th week of lockdown,
a grim new reality emerges.
COVID-23 has mutated.
Beginning thermal scan. Thermal scan normal.
A horrifying new development today.
It confirms the virus attacks the brain tissue.
Whoa, 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 whoa! I'm immune!
Worldwide death toll rises to over 110 million.
All infected Americans are being forced into quarantine camps.
Sarah,
what's going on?
Department of Sanitation.
Sarah, talk to me.
I think my neighbor has a fever.
It'll be so much easier if you just open the door. Mrs. Grant, you have visitors.
Sarah, do not open that door.
Beginning thermal scan. 3, 2, 1. Anomaly detected. Armed guards will be arriving in 4 to 6 hours. You must not attempt to leave your home, or you will be shot on sight.
This is my message to you.
I know you're in there.
It's coming. I have to let you go.
No.
Sam!
They're coming.
Sam! Say goodbye to me.
They're coming.
I'm not letting you give up.
This is my message to you.
Sometimes we have to do things we don't want to survive.
I'm trying to save the one person left in my life that matters to me.
I can't help you. What you're talking about is illegal.
And remember, stay safe, sane, and sanitized.
Surgeon General Murthy says vaccinated children will still need to wear masks in school. Thursday on CNN's New Day, U.S. Surgeon General Vivek Murthy sounded off on masks for children as the White House prepared for the Pfizer coronavirus vaccine to be approved for children ages 5 to 11 in the coming weeks. Host John Berman asked Murthy how much the vaccination of children that age impacts the need for masks in the classroom. Murthy replied, you know, the CDC has guidance currently that says even if you are vaccinated, you do need to wear a mask, and that will likely be the case for children until the CDC changes it.
Right now in the United States, people should not be walking around with masks.
The CDC has guidance that says if you're vaccinated, you do need to wear a mask, and that will be the case for children until the CDC changes it.
Right now in the United States, people should not be walking around with masks.
You see where all this is going? You know, the first time that I ever played that clip from the movie Songbird, people legitimately freaked out. But then, as with all things, they got used to it. And now people have kind of gotten numb to it. And many of the people who swore that they would never be vaccinated have become vaccinated. And I've watched a number of those people be taken to the hospital with strokes. I've watched a number of those people die from COVID. And what happens is, over time, you begin to get numb to things. The Bible says this, that the Antichrist, during the time of the Great Tribulation, the last half of the 7 years of Jacob's trouble, in Daniel 7:25 it says, "And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time." And the Antichrist, the Bible says, is going to seek to wear out the saints of the Most High. And you know what's happening right now? We're not in that time period. But what's happening right now is saints are getting worn out. I read an article just the other day in American Thinker magazine. And the title of this article is called, "The Vaccinated Are Looking Smarter Every Week." The unvaccinated, I got vaccinations on my brain. The unvaccinated are looking smarter every week. Written by a medical doctor, Dr. Thomas Styler. He says, "There is a massive propaganda push against those choosing not to vaccinate against COVID-19 with the experimental mRNA vaccines. Mainstream media, the big tech corporations, and our own government have combined efforts to reward compliance and to shame and marginalize non-compliance. Their mantra says that this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated. People who choose not to vaccinate are characterized as unintelligent, selfish, paranoid people who don't read much and live in a trailer park in Florida or Alabama or Texas. You take your pick. Never in human history has there been such an effort to cajole, manipulate through fear, and penalize people to take an experimental medical treatment that we call the sacrament of vaccination." Now, this article goes on to say, and all these links are going to be in Jeanette's notes. If you want to be on the list to get these notes, and they're very thorough, in the chat room, just tell Jeanette that you want to be on the mailing list, or you can email her, Jeanette, J-A-N-E-T-T-E, at nowtheendbegins.com, and she'll put you on the mailing list. It's completely free, and every program that we do, you will get these notes. And they can be very, very helpful. There's a European vaccine reporting system called Eudura Vigilance, or Eudra Vigilance. It's the European reporting system. And they have reported in Europe 26,000 people have died as a result of receiving the COVID-19 vaccine, with almost 2.5 million injuries from people who have received the vaccine, according to the Eudra Vigilance reporting system in Europe. Here in America, we have something called the VAERS reporting system. VAERS stands for Vaccine Access something. Oh, Vaccine Adverse Reaction System. You want to hear what the numbers are for the CDC's own website as of last week? The CDC VAERS reporting system says 16,000 people have died, 23,000 people have become disabled, 10,000 people have had myocarditis, 87,000 urgent care visits, 75,000 hospital stays, and 775,000 total adverse events. The VAERS system is widely known to underreport events, with an estimated 90 to 99% of events going unreported there. So at a bare minimum, here in America, people are reporting 16,000 deaths, 23,000 disabilities, 10,000 cases of myocarditis, 87,000 urgent care visits, 75,000 hospital stays, and 775,000 total adverse events. Are you starting to see why the title of this article, The Unvaccinated Are Looking Smarter Every Week? I told you this Monday, I told you that Australia, one of the nations in the world that had the most extreme lockdowns, 10 solid months of lockdowns, and now they're beginning to let their people out. But in those 10 months, the vast majority of Australians received the sacrament of vaccination. And now that they have dutifully bowed to the altar of the religion of COVID and received the sacrament of vaccination, now they're being told to go out and catch COVID because it will boost their immune system. Do you realize the level of deception that's operating here? Australia was locked down for 10 months. They were told that they could not be safe without the vaccine. They were told that when they received the sacrament of vaccination, they would not catch COVID. Now that the majority of Australians have taken the sacrament, the government, with no explanation, no apology, says go out and catch COVID. It will help your immune system. What type of moron do you have to be to not see what's happening? It is as plain as the nose on your face. Coronavirus is a religion, and it is being used to subjugate the entire world. I will not be receiving the sacrament of vaccination. I will be standing here on the front lines of the end times with all of you who care to join me, and we'll be preaching and teaching the gospel of the grace of God. And we will not be receiving the sacrament of vaccination.
Are you crazy? Am I? Or am I so sane that you just blew your mind?
It's impossible.
Is it? Or is it so possible that your head is spinning like a top?
It can't be.
Can it? Or is your entire world just crashing down all around
you? All right, that's enough.
Yeah!
We're living in a day and age where the comedians have more truth than the politicians. We're living in a day and age of predictive programming. We're living in a day and age that you have been mentally prepared for, but you didn't know it. And we've arrived. We have absolutely arrived at our destination. And the question is, what are you going to do about it? They've been telling you for decades that this was coming.
They're the ones who should be arresting, not me.
Why didn't you say that before? What we got here? Cam, this is William Klein. He was wrecking an office.
I just wanted to meet them face to face. I wanted them to admit what they were doing.
Who is they? He was in the office of the Trilateral Commission.
Trilateral Commission?
Yeah, the Trilateral Commission.
All right, what is the Trilateral Commission?
It's an organization founded in 1973 by David Rockefeller to bring together business and political leaders from the United States, Europe, Japan, so they could work together for better economic and political cooperation between their nations.
Yeah, but that's what they'd like us to believe. But you see, what they're really up to is a scheme to plant their own loyal members in positions of power in this country, to work to erase national boundaries and create an international community, and in time, bring about a one-world government with David Rockefeller calling the shots.
I take it they're pressing charges?
Yeah, well, he broke a globe and some UNICEF artwork.
Well, they're in on it, too.
Okay, Mr. Klein, if you just...
I'm telling you, our whole way of life as we know it is in jeopardy.
I appreciate that information.
But I have the documented evidence. It's all in there. Show him.
Well, he's got these magazines here.
Conspiracy Review. Suppress Truth Roundup?
The whole master plan is exposed.
Yeah, well,
You're still not convinced, huh? Would you like to hear the names of just a few of the people who have been on the Trilateral Commission?
Not particularly.
James Earl Carter. Heard of him?
Look, Mr. Klein...
Henry Kissinger. You heard of him? Walter Mondale.
Who? Mr. Klein, this is...
John Anderson, George Bush. Now, you remember at the convention, everybody thought it was going to...
Well, you don't have to worry about that. That's just a comedy show, right? That's just an old, dusty old sitcom from the 1980s that nobody ever even remembers, right?
This is an historic moment.
Maybe not.
We have, in this past year, made great progress in ending the long era of conflict and Cold War. We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order.
Preach it.
A world where the rule of law,
oh yeah,
not the law of the jungle,
no,
governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be,
we
have a real chance at this new world order. An order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
On September 11th of 1991, George H.W. Bush stood before the United States Congress, and he gave that speech. And he said, "My fellow Americans, prepare yourself for a new world order. And this new world order will be under the power of the United Nations." And he said, when we're successful, and we will be, 10 years to the day, 9/11/2001, with his son as president. We watched the World Trade Centers come crashing down. Then we watched the Patriot Act. Then we watched Obama become president. Then we saw unbelievably unspeakable things begin to happen in this country. Now we have Joe Biden. You know that in a town in California yesterday, gas was $7.91 a gallon. They are destroying the economy. They are destroying the morale of everyone who lives in this nation. They are demanding that you receive the sacrament of vaccination. There's no science here. There's no science of any kind. This is pure religion. That's what you're watching now. You're watching religion. You're watching the religion of lost, unsaved people. We told you last week that Nancy Pelosi, she went to the Vatican, and Pope Francis was more than happy to give Nancy Pelosi the right hand of fellowship with the Masonic handshake. Not one word about her love for killing babies and due date abortion. Not one word about that. But Pope Francis received her. Pope Francis is a liar. If you follow Pope Francis, you're following the devil himself. He is not the Holy Father. He is not the Vicar of Christ. The Holy Spirit is the Vicar of Christ. And next week, Joe Biden is going to go and make the same trip to the Vatican. Pro-abortion Joe Biden. You know how the Pope pretends that they're all against abortion at the Catholic Church? Don't you believe that for a second. Pope Francis is not against abortion. Pope Francis, his only concern is that he will be able to build the one world religion of Chrislam. And the last couple of weeks have been unbelievably busy for Pope Francis. He has been preaching and teaching the Gospel of Gaia. And if you're a Roman Catholic who's listening to this program, your religion is a godless, counterfeit, anti-Christian religion created by the devil himself. And you need to get out of that mess, and you need to get saved. Revelation 18:4 is talking to you. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, ye my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. If you're a Roman Catholic, I invite you to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And get out of that religion. That one world religion. Because God's going to destroy it, and He's going to destroy everybody in it. At the very least, you'll miss the rapture. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss the rapture. And I'm glad that I'm saved. And I'm glad that I know where I'm going. And I'm glad that I have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Well, looks like we've come to the end of our time for today. I hope this program was a blessing to you, and I hope that you'll prayerfully consider donating to our free Bible and Gospel Tract program. I hope that you'll prayerfully consider donating to our Gospel Witness Billboard program. Both these programs together cost about $10,000 a month to do. I want you to think about that. Just those two programs cost about $10,000 a month. And I want to do more. I want to do a lot more with the time that we have left. So please pray about becoming a part of the NTEB family. And helping us to do these things. Because the only way that we can do them is we all have to do them together. I can't even come close to doing this by myself. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Thank you for being part of the NTEB family of Bible believers across America and around the world. The time is short. The battle is hot. Very hot. The war is real, the battle hot, and the time is short. To the fight. Lord willing, we'll see you back here Sunday morning, 11 a.m., for our NTEB House Church Sunday morning service. Have a great weekend, everybody. Get out there and make a difference for Jesus Christ. Get out there and share the gospel with somebody lost that God has put into your path. Only one life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last.
In sin I was living, no thought was I giving of dying, and where I would go. I was looking and buying, so hard was I trying to gain all this world had to hold. No peace and no pleasure could I even measure with all that I had to gain. I repented and prayed, Christ save me that day. Now I have got something to say. I'm not going to hell. I met the Savior, what a story I tell. I'm saved and forgiven, set free, all is well. I'm not going to hell. No, I'm not going to hell.
Now my life's worth living, since I've been forgiven. Christ made a real change in me. I'm no longer crying when I think about dying, 'cause heaven is waiting for me. Now Satan's still lying, he's always trying to lead you down the wrong way. Just call on Christ's name, he'll save you today. Then look back to Satan and say,
I'm not going to hell. I'm at the Savior, what a story I tell. I'm saved and forgiven, set free, all is well. I'm not going to hell. No, I'm not going to hell.
No,
I'm not going to hell. I'm at the Savior, what a story I tell. I'm saved and forgiven, set free, all is well. I'm not going to hell. No, I'm not going to hell. Because I'm saved by His power divine.
Yes, I'm
saved to new life, so I'm blind. Life now is sweet and my joy.